And welcome back to the What That's Good podcast. This is a special day because I actually have my mom on the podcast again, but this time she's in the studio. What? And we have this amazing setup happening.
Looks so good. I love it.
Yeah. Upgrade since the last time you're on the podcast. I probably called you on my phone.
Probably. Or we did in your bedroom, your old bedroom
for a while. Yeah. And that's okay. But thankful to be where we're at. This is awesome. So my first question for you is, how have you dealt with a lifelong pregnancy brain syndrome?
Oh my goodness, it's so funny. So Sadie, we were just talking about how Sadie is going through pregnancy brain, which I kind of live with my whole life because I'm super forgetful. So I'm like, welcome to my world.
Yeah. I know. And I'm like, how did you do this like your whole life? Because it's driving me crazy. I can't remember anything. I missed 2 appointments this week.
Oh my goodness.
I've called Christian John Luke 3 times in one day.
Actually, I think it's being a mom. Like, I think I used to say when our kids were little, like, I am not ADD at all. Like, I just don't have that personality type. But when our kids were little, I was like, people probably think I'm ADD because, like, I can't focus on one thing because you're always, your brain's like
so
thinking about
things.
Which kid or what you have to do or what did you forget or
that's probably
what
true.
Activity you have. So you're just starting out. But yeah.
Even in the state of, like, I'm thinking about all the work I have to do, but I'm also thinking, like, could I go into labor, like, today?
Yeah.
Like, you know, so just in
your
the back of my mind, I'm kind of thinking about other things.
Yes.
Well, that's not
all right.
Really my first question, but what is the best piece of mom advice that you have for me?
Okay, best piece of mom advice. This is going to sound really simple.
I like it. Stick with me.
But here we go. So really, my best piece of advice is just to enjoy your babies and your children. Enjoy every single phase. And why I think it's important is because it's like, you know, it seems simple, but actually, like, parenting can be hard.
Yeah.
Like, nursing is painful,
yeah.
And there's a lot of diapers to change, and there's a lot of just day-to-day, and I remember times when you're just like, okay, counting down the minutes till they take a nap, and you can, like, sit down for a little bit. So I think it is important to, like, remember to just find joy in your children. That's the best gift I think
best
you can
gift.
Give your kids is to just, like, delight
so
in them
good.
And let them know that they are a gift to you and that you love them. And part of that is really just, finding joy in just the little things.
I love that. It actually is really cool because I remember, like, whenever I started to get older and you hear, like, people complain about their kids all the time. And I was like, I wonder if my mom thought that about me. But that's a good point, though, because even if you did, you didn't ever make us feel like that. And, like, you didn't ever make us feel like we were, like, a burden. Like, we were just, like, your kids, and we knew that you loved us. So I do remember when all these moms started saying this in front of me, and I was like, I wonder if my mom, like, says this kind of stuff, which, again,
I didn't. I did. I enjoyed every moment with you. Actually, there are times that were hard. There's no doubt that that's part of parenting. But I do, I did really, you know, I think it's important to be a positive mom, to speak good things over your kids, to say positive things, even in your internal life, you know. As a mom, sometimes if you can get, like, this, like, oh, this is so terrible, and this is hard, and this is this, and this is that. But if you speak things over, even over yourself, positivity, it makes a big difference.
I think that's good because I do see a temptation in our generation to, it's like, for the sake of vulnerability and authenticity, we actually are just being negative, you know?
Yeah.
And so we're, like, sharing on Instagram all these things, not really realizing that we're actually just being quite negative, but we coat that with, like, vulnerability and authenticity. And, like, maybe that is vulnerable and maybe it is authentic, but it's also just negative.
Yes.
And so I think that that is really a good perspective to look at it and be like, let's just try to be positive and also acknowledge it's hard. So you can also be vulnerable and say, this is really hard, but I take delight in who my kids are.
Yeah.
So that's really good.
I think that's a really good observation, Sadie. Yeah. And not that I was always perfect in it. I remember one time specifically, I had 4 little ones, like, under the age of 6, and I just kind of got into a pattern of, like, when Dad would come home from work or we would see each other for the first time in the day, I would tell him all the bad things that happened that day. Like, you know, John Luke and Sadie were fighting and Will and Bella dumped out of the cereal. And at one point he was like, you know, you're actually really being negative. And it hit me because, like, I don't want to be that person at all. And I remember making a conscious effort to change that because I was like, this is not reflecting how I feel. Like, I really love being a mom to these 4 kids and I enjoy it. but instead I was just sharing the bad
rather
than sharing the good, you
That's
know?
Good.
So that was kind of a shift for me.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's probably a, like, I think that's really a common thing, because even in the This Is Us episode, remember we were just watching?
Yes.
And if anybody watches This Is Us, shout out to This Is Us. If you're listening, you're on This Is Us, we love you.
Yes,
but they were talking about how Rebecca was kind of like nagging on the kids and they're so bad and we finally get a break. And then Jack was like, stop telling about our kids, like they're such a burden to us. So that's so cool. Okay, so speaking in terms of social media and just kind of that, what I've seen, what I've observed from where we're at right now with like parenting styles, what do you see as like maybe one of the biggest differences between the way your generation went about raising kids and maybe the way that ours is?
Yeah. So I would say, I think maybe one of the hard things for y'all is that you're getting to kind of, you feel like at least, you're seeing how everyone else is parenting. Like
yeah,
you see all the other moms and like how cute they look pregnant or how they, you know.
That is true.
Or how, you know, they nursed for 2 years and are they, you see all
Not
the
even that,
details.
Like how they literally work out every day while they're pregnant or they're crushing it.
And they're making homemade baby food every single day. And so you're seeing this, and I think that spirit of comparison can creep in to motherhood really. Like as moms, like mom guilt, we all talk about mom guilt and have been for a long time because it's a thing. Like you do feel like, oh, am I doing the best for my kids? Am I doing that? And I think now with social media, that can even be stronger and harder. I remember when ours were little, like, we didn't really know what other moms were doing. We were just kind of doing our own thing, you know? Like, we would show up to church and, like, be like, oh, can you believe she has on heels and she has 4 kids? Like, that was the only comparison was, like, who's wearing the heels at church rather than, like, showing up with, like, hair in a ponytail and, like, barely making it, you
know?
That is
funny.
And their diaper bag was packed perfectly.
Yeah.
Like, that's the comparison, you know, at church on Sunday. But otherwise, we didn't really have that, I don't think, to the extent that you guys have it. So I think that's something that you need to – you know, you'll have to really fight against, you know, fight against that comparison and feeling like you're not enough because you're not doing it the way someone else might be doing it. Because God gave you your child. God gave your baby to you for a reason because you are the perfect person for that. You're not going to be perfect, but you're perfect for that baby. And, you know, I think just remembering that like, And our kids don't need us to be perfect. You know, they need us to be real. They need us to love them and delight in them and feed them and all those things. But they don't need a perfect parent.
That's
they have
good.
That in God.
I love that. That's so good. That's been one of the best like pieces of advice I've gotten from so many people, including you, over the past 9 months, is that, you know, you have everything you need in you to be a mom. So, like, you can Google all night long and you can look up everything and have every app. But at the end of the day, like, you're qualified.
Yes.
You're equipped, like, because that's how God has made you. So obviously we probably have people listening who aren't moms.
Yes.
Right? A lot of people listening who aren't moms. And I know this is mom month and we're talking about baby stuff because I will have hopefully by the time this comes out had the baby. But for the girls who aren't moms yet and desire to one day be, maybe they're still even single, they're in college and high school. How can you start even preparing yourself to consider maybe your future children one day? Because I remember you've said stuff like, when my high school teacher said this, I knew I wanted to adopt. And I knew that the word was strong and kind. So what are those things that you can intentionally be thinking about towards one day eventually being a parent?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think, of course, number one is prayer. Always, you know, start praying for your future spouse. If you're not married yet, start praying for your future children and their future spouses. You know, God is in control and he is bigger. His plans are so much better than ours. But other than that, you know, I think it's working on yourself because our kids see what you do and how you act more than the things that you say to them, you know? And so when I talk about, like, even about being strong and kind and wanting that for y'all, then I was like, oh, that means I have to be that for myself.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, I have to live that out. Like, if we want our kids to be courageous or you want them to be generous or you want them to be any of those things, it really has to start with you, you know? And as a mom, you are really set the tone in your home for, you know, what your kids see and how your kids act. And so, you know, not trying to put all the pressure on you, but that is a big important thing. So I think really just kind of working on yourself and making
sure,
you know, when you have these babies and these children that you're able to kind of show them and model a life that's abundant
in
Christ Jesus.
I love that. That's so good. All right, so you are really close to all of your kids. Literally all of us. We are all super close to mom. Not only are we close, but we all think we're the closest. We all would say, oh no, I'm her best friend. Definitely. I talk to her the most. It's just unspoken competition between the siblings. But that just proves that everybody loves you and feels really loved by you. For those moms who have a lot of kids, how do you manage making every kid feel equally loved?
Oh, that makes me so happy that you say that. I think that, well, y'all all are my favorite. So, that's true. But I think one is time. Like, it does take a lot of time, you know. Kids don't just need quality time. They need quantity time. They need time to be able to talk and speak, and they need attention. And so I think that's a big part of it. And then I also think it's just like knowing your kids and knowing what they need, because everyone is so different.
That's true.
Like, your whole message is live original because dad called you the original. Yeah. But like, each one of y'all are so unique and so original, and God made you so differently. And really just kind of like recognizing that and noticing that in each kid. And one thing I tried to do is just like, you know, if I saw a skill or a gift or a talent in you that God put in you, just like connect you with someone else who might have that gift or talent.
That's cool.
And I tried to do that for each of y'all, just kind of notice that and call that out in you.
That's cool.
And so I think that's important, really just trying to get to know each kid, not treat every kid the same.
Yeah.
But say like, oh, okay, what are the gifts that God's put in Sadie?
That's
and
good.
How do I kind of call those out in her?
I think that's true for friendships too. Like, if you have a big friend group, it's like, how do you make sure every friend knows that they're loved by you? And I think that comes with quality time, quantity time, but also just knowing what your friend needs. Because there are some friends, like, I could not talk to for a month, but then I call them and we're like right back at it, and nobody cares.
Yeah.
There are some friends that if I don't reach out to for a month, that's going to make them sad, you know? And so just that intentionality is huge. I was just thinking about how your time was, you did let us in on your time, and how we would all come sit at your bed somehow at the end of the day. Like, somehow we'd all end up like on your bed.
Yes.
And eventually you'd be like, okay, it's time for bed. And none of us would listen. And you'd be like, okay, it's time for bed. And 2 minutes later, you'd be like, okay, I'm not even kidding. Everybody get out of the room. So there was a boundary. There was a line. It was like, okay, come spend time with me, sit in my bed. But it's like, okay, no, actually, I'm not kidding.
Yes,
I don't want to say it again.
That
and we'd
is
all
true.
Like, scram. But we all like waited till it got to that point. It was like, wait for it, run.
I would say it nicely a few times, like, all right, well, good night. Love y'all. And then everyone stay. And I'm like, all right.
Yeah. And like 5 minutes later, all right, I really do love y'all, but leave. Okay, so there obviously are hard seasons in parenting, and we kind of talked about that's not negative to admit that it's hard. That's real. And I mean, I can remember putting you through some hard times. I mean, first of all, me and John Luke did fight a lot when we were little.
Y'all did.
We did. I mean, we became best friends eventually, but we fought a lot. And then middle school hit, and I was uber dramatic.
You were a little emotional in middle school.
I mean, that was just ridiculous. I mean, to the point where, wouldn't it be like if you were wearing an outfit that thought you looked cuter than me, I'm like, I'm going to go put on a better outfit? Like, with my mom. Like, what is my problem? Like, I was very dramatic and emotional. Anywho, I got that coming for me maybe in about 13 years, hopefully not. But my question is, how do you get past those hard seasons of parenting? Because now I feel like you know, obviously there's still hard things, but you're in a sweet season with a lot of your kids. And so how do you press past the hard ones?
Yeah, I think it's knowing that it is a season. You know, now, of course, where I am now as a grandmother, I can look back and be like, oh, that was such a short time. It feels like such a short season, those middle school years. And I'm like still saying that, that's the hardest years with kids, I think, because all the hormones and everything can be crazy during that time.
And you had three middle schoolers.
That was crazy. And each kid, you know, like there's certain, I think, common traits about, you know, each stage, like toddler stage or middle school stage or high school stage, but everyone's so different. So then as having six kids, you have to figure out, okay, like, oh, what are they going through? Mm-hmm. You were like super emotional and, you know, and all this. And then Bella went through kind of like separating me. Like, she was kind of exerting her independence during that. And I was like, okay, what do I do with that?
Yeah.
So you do have to figure all that out. But I think knowing that it is a season, you know, I try to live my life that way in a lot of ways. Be like, you know, I can do anything for this for a little bit. And I know that God's got this and he's going to bring us through it onto the other side. And I've seen enough in my life to know that, like, okay, yeah, God is faithful. Mm-hmm. He will bring us through. And so I think just kind of holding to that truth and holding, knowing that, that brings you through those hard times.
That's good. It's like that verse that I love, Hebrews 10:35. So then do not forget the confident trust that you have in the Lord, for that would be richly rewarded. And then it goes on to say, like, patient endurance is what you're going to need to see the will of God in your life. So it's like, in order to have confident trust in God, you have to have seen him come through. You have to see his faithfulness. And then you're like, okay, God, I'm confident that you are going to come through in this season. Yes. And I might have to patiently endure this for a little bit, but you're going to come through.
I love that. And that applies to parenting, to your marriage, to hard things that you go through personally in your life, you know. So, yeah, I think that's an important quality to remember in every aspect of your life.
That's good. Okay, so you and Dad, y'all are such a cute couple. Y'all are so funny. And for those of you who do the Enneagram, you'll appreciate this. Mom is a 7-wing 8 and Dad is an 8-wing 7. So firecracker.
A little fiery.
A little firecracker. they have definitely, y'all aren't going to lie that you've argued a few times in your life.
A few times, yeah.
Just once or twice a day. No, but y'all are so close and y'all's arguments are actually like your love language. Like, y'all push each other and you are such a great team. You also have fun together. Y'all play a lot of tennis, a lot of Scrabble. Go fishing, cook. You, I mean, you're more of an assistant chef, not really like.
Yeah.
I would say cook, you eat.
Willie doesn't even let me assist.
No, he wouldn't. But y'all do a lot together, and it's really sweet. Y'all are certainly a team. How do you stay on the same team with your spouse whenever you might disagree on something? Because I feel like me and Christian stepping into parenting, there might be things that we see things different, but how do we, like, stay on the same team?
I think that is so important because kids can sense weakness. Like, they can sense, like, where's the weak link, or that's who's true. Like, gonna give on this, you know? And they know it, and they can. It's uncanny how they can figure that out.
Wow!
So it is important.
So that's
to stay.
Like, whenever you say, like, oh, I'll just go ask Dad because he'll say yes.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. So it is important to say united front, and you're not gonna agree on everything at all. But I think it is about respect. Ultimately, is like I respect you as a parent, you respect me, and I think, and I really believe this, like, so strongly that God gives us two parents because you need that kind of give and take. You need those differences. Dad was a little maybe harder on some things than I would have been, and I was a little harder on some things than he would have been, but we respected one another enough to say, like, you love our children just like I love our children, and, like, you're doing what you believe is best for them just like I am. And so sometimes you do kind of have to, like, say, okay, I'm going to let you take the lead on this, or you're going to let me take the lead on this. And it is a give and take, but it's about mutual respect.
Yeah, that's
and
good.
Knowing that, like, you know, they don't want harm for your child either. They're doing the best, and perhaps, you know, God has something that they're learning, that your child is learning through that, that, like, he brings to the table that you might not know or realize.
Yeah, that's good.
So
mutual respect.
I think that mutual respect is the key to it.
And knowing that you are actually on the same team.
You
actually are going for the same thing and love the kids the same.
Yes.
And it's funny because I can remember going to you and, like, you were always the first option, and I'd be like, can I do this? And if you said go ask your dad, I'd be like, oh no. Like, that was like I just assume it's a no. Like, I don't even need to take that next step.
Except for when it comes to money. I feel like Dad was more free with the $20 bills or whatever. Yeah.
Dad was more free. And he would even tell us, like, hey, there's a 20 in that drawer if you ever need to order pizza.
Like, yeah. He was more free. I was more like, nope, your allowance. You already spent it.
Yeah. So. Oh, brutal. Speaking of allowance, we were laughing so hard the other day because just talking about how John Luke was always just a little bit more smart than me. And we did chore chart. And at the end of chore chart, you could either get $5 or an IC. And every week I chose an IC. And John Luke chose $5. And he always had so much money in his safe. And I had $0 to my name, but I had an IC every week.
You love those ICs.
I love those ICs. Yeah. And I probably would have got an IC anyway. That was just a bad
so
move.
Funny.
Not very strategic. So what has the transition been from going from mom to grandma? Because, you know, you've been mom our whole life. Now you're K-mama.
Yes.
Does it make you feel old? to be a grandma?
A little bit. No, I love it. I feel like you're thriving. I will trade being old for being a grandma any day. Awesome. Yes, I love it. It's so much fun.
You used to say, I never want to be an old person. You said that because you were like, that scares me because it's like, old people, it's like, it looks hard. And then you became a grandma, and I heard you say, I think I love being old. Like, I can't wait to be older because I feel like you've seen the blessing in it.
I have. I used to feel like, oh, my goodness, I don't want to be like, I can't walk and my knees hurt. And, you know, like that older person that just can't do anything. I don't know. But now that I'm a grandma, now I'm like, I want to live to 100 because I want to see my great-great-grandkids. And it is really a sweet time of life that I am loving. Yes.
That's awesome.
And I'm so thankful that y'all are all close. So yes. I can see my grandbabies just any moment,
which is
the greatest blessing.
It is. Thanks for being on the podcast and for all of your good advice throughout life. I'm sure it was funny because whenever I called you yesterday and I was like, so what do you want to talk about tomorrow? And you were like, well, what advice have I given you? And I'm like, today? Yesterday? Like, you give me so much advice. How are we going to narrow this down? But as always, you're just a well of wisdom. So.
Aw, thank you. I love you, baby.
Love you. Cheers to more kids.
Woohoo! Yes.
Hello.
Hi. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, of course. Thank you so much for being on.
Here. Okay, what was your question?
Okay, so my question is basically just any breakup advice you have in relation to faith and God's plan, because I'm a Christian, and just how to continue going about your day when you're not healed from a person you still love who hurt you so much unexpectedly. Yeah. And just like any advice on that.
Yeah. Oh, first of all, I know that's so hard. Breakups are never fun, but I always say breakups are never fun, but they always get you to where you're going. And had I not gone through the hardest breakups, I wouldn't be here in a happy marriage, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, biblically speaking, and when you're talking about how do I, you know, go about this being a Christian, is just really lean on God for your healing. You know, God can heal those wounds in your heart that no one else can. That even if you got back together with this guy and he said every right word, he couldn't even heal your heart the way that God can. God can redeem any situation. And I would just encourage you. I actually did a breakup video on YouTube a few years ago. And I would encourage you to listen to it because I talk about this idea of not being bound in bitterness. Because a lot of times when something like that happens or someone really hurts you, like, you can just be bound in the bitterness towards that person, towards what happened, towards your relationship. And that doesn't really help anybody, you know? That doesn't help you. It doesn't hurt him, you know, by you sitting there and being mad at the situation. And I know that's easier said than done, but that's where you have to invite God in and just allow him to heal your heart and trust that he has a plan. Mm-hmm. And just pray towards that plan. Say, God, like, this hurt, I am not gonna lie, my heart feels broken, but God, I ask that you redeem the things in this situation that hurt. And God, I ask that you would just lead me along the path towards the one that you have for me. Mm-hmm. And that person would be kind, and that he would be strong, and he would be intentional, and just start speaking those things that, you know, you're asking God for to find in a person. I think that's what mm-hmm. I saw in my life happen. Went through some tough breakups, but each time I just was like, God, heal my heart and get me to where I'm going. And he did both. Mm-hmm. My heart is healed, and now I'm in a happy relationship. And so I know when you're in it, it's hard to see, you know, the end goal, because you can't. But if you just trust God and see him in the midst of it, when you one day are with your husband or you find the one, or even before then, even when you're just healed by God, you're going to be able to look back and actually thank him for going through the heartache that you did, so that you're not in the same situation that you would still be in if you hadn't.
Yeah, that's good. And you can be super authentic and real in your prayers to God and just, you know, talk to him about how you're struggling and how you're hurting and how this has affected you. And because, like you said, he's going to comfort you more than any other human can comfort you. God's going to comfort you. He is our comforter. He's our redeemer, and he's redeeming all things. So I just encourage you in your prayer life just to be just completely transparent and real with God, and just ask him to help you in those areas, because we don't have to come to God with it all figured out, and we don't have to come to him you know, acting like nothing's wrong, and we can come to him just with all that we have, and, mm-hmm. and if that's what we have, then he'll comfort us in that if we ask him to.
Yeah, I actually want to share a verse with you. I read 2 days ago in my Bible reading plan that I'm on. It was from Psalms 42:5, and to Christian's point about being honest, it says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me?" And so this is a really honest prayer of like, mm-hmm. why am I so sad? Why am I so downcast? But then he says this, the psalmist, he says, "Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God." So it's like, yes, I'm so downcast right now, and yes, this is really hard, but my hope is in God, and I know that one day again I will praise him because he's my salvation. And so even in this time where it's hard and it hurts, it's saying like, this is really hard, this really hurts, I'm really sad, but God, I know you're doing something good because I know that you have good things for those who love you and are called according to your purpose. And so take God at his word. I'm sorry you're going through heartbreak, but I'm thankful that you called, and I hope that our advice helped.
Thank you. I've watched so many of your videos and podcasts, and in one of them, I remember you said that time doesn't heal mm-hmm. and that God heals, and that I've just like always remembered that, and I love that. So thank you so much.
That's so good. Awesome. Well, I'm so glad that meant something to you, and that definitely came out of a breakup, that quote. So anyways, well, Anna, thanks for calling in. It was so nice talking to you.
Thank you.
Nice to meet you, Anna. Bye. Thank you.
You too. Bye.
We absolutely love whenever y'all ask real questions, whether it's hard or fun or whatever it is. We love getting to answer and speak into your life. Thanks for letting us hold a piece of advice in your own life. I hope that you go on to have a great day today. And don't forget, follow the Whoa That's Good podcast on Instagram. Subscribe to our YouTube channel and keep up with all the things. You don't have to swipe up for the 100th time, Christian. But just stay connected. We want to be more than just y'all being followers and fans. We want to be friends. So send in your questions and let's get on the call.